Dancing can be so much fun. It involves a sort of creative lightness, right? You got to kind of go with things. Certainly involves a lot of trust. Hannah mostly had that trust on the dip there, right? Different songs will change the different steps, the different pace of what you're doing together, but it can be so fun. I don't like swing dancing. At least I didn't like swing dancing until I met Hannah. Hannah liked swing dancing, and so I liked Hannah, and so I liked swing dancing. And I went for it, thank you, ooh la la indeed. So I went for it, I gave it a go, and I came to enjoy it, actually. An evening of swing dancing brought great joy, some because of the dancing, but certainly because of the person I was dancing with. In our gospel reading today, Jesus is inviting us into a dance that I think we have largely forgotten the steps to. They're familiar words. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. What do you imagine Jesus means by rest here? Just take a moment and think on that. What do you hope he means by rest? Can you confidently say that you've received it? Is there anything distinct about the rest that Jesus promises over and against anyone else? And to an increasingly anxious world, does the church know how to dance this dance well? And does the church know how to draw the world into its rhythm? So we're going to reflect on a familiar passage today, but suspend the familiarity that we have with it. The three places we're going to camp out on are these ideas. Your soul is anxious without Jesus' rest. Rest is a dance. The dance is powerful because of the one we're dancing with. Your soul is anxious without Jesus' rest. I hope we can feel how bold of a claim it is that Jesus promises to give us rest. What is rest, though? Let's look at it as an anecdote. Antidote, thank you. Rest is the answer to being weary and heavy laden, or as other folks have translated it, fatigued and overwhelmed. We have been working a hard thing, or working too long, or we are carrying a thing that feels too weighty for us to carry. Today's levels of anxiety, I feel like Jesus colors in pretty well by using this word, but they're not unique to us. All throughout the years, rest is the antidote to these things. It's the answer. It's the thing that we need. Are you working for a boss who is unreasonable with their expectations? Are you in a marriage where you feel like you're carrying all the weight right now? Are you dismayed at the anger of our politics and headlines? Are you working hard with seemingly little result in what you're hoping to accomplish? I think we know the weightiness, the burden, the heavy ladenness. And whether you would call yourself a follower of Jesus or not, let's not pretend like we don't know it. We know the anxiety. We know these things. Jesus' rest, it is an answer for the future, for sure. We will enter into fullness of rest, where every tear, every burden is wiped away. But I think the church has shortchanged rest by punting it into the future too much. That's not primarily what Jesus has in mind here. It is future. It is present as well. It's a bold claim. Don't relegate rest only to the future, even if it seems so impossible to actually achieve now. The definition of the word that Jesus uses for rest The word is anapauso in the Greek. It's literally a ceasing, but not a ceasing against. They have another word for that. Like, here's the thing I'm doing. I'm going to stop doing that thing, promising to return to it. This is more of a picking your head up ceasing. Finding a new plane or new reality. Anapauso. An active and present refreshing of the soul. Doesn't that sound nice? John Chrysostom, one of these early church preachers, puts it really well about this passage. He says, Jesus is not saying, I will save you only, but what is much greater, I will refresh you. That is, I will set you in all quietness. Historically, the understanding is, I will give you rest now. But it seems so impossible. Do we really expect it when we hear these words every week pronounced after our confession and being reminded of our forgiveness? Now, if that wasn't bold enough to promise rest, who does he promise it to? Come to me, all. Panta in the Greek. Everybody. There is not a single person that is left out of this invitation to come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Of course, specifically in front of him, he's talking to the Jewish people who are under the boot of Rome. They are occupied by Rome, burdened and heavy laden, for sure. But also under a sort of overproduced temple worship that was taking a lot more loose change out of their pockets than the Lord ever intended. They were weary and heavy laden. But we also know from Jesus' ministry that he has in his sights Gentiles, right? So not just Israelites. Tax collectors, sinners of the worst sort. This is good news for us. Democrats, Republicans, Boston Red Sox fans, all the people that you think are least deserving of rest, Jesus has them in mind. Who is the person that you would be most just wound up about if you saw Jesus holding them by the hand and moving them towards rest? He has that person in mind. This also means you. However much you might discount yourself from this invitation, you are a part of it. Whether you discount yourself or whether you think, I've got things down pretty well. I don't know that I need any extra rest. He's got you in his sights. The reason Jesus offers it is put really well by St. Augustine. In this classic line, our hearts are restless until they find their rest in you. And this is absolutely true. We are created to long for rest. And this isn't just a message to the overworked. It isn't just a message to the people who don't have enough to be able to experience rest. I love the line that Jim Carrey said sometime on some talk show. Jim Carrey said, I think everybody should get rich and famous and do everything they ever dreamed of so they can see that that's not the answer. Even those who have everything they imagined, no anxiety. They know restlessness. Jesus offers rest to all. Rest is also a dance. I don't know, have you ever noticed how strange it is that Jesus promises rest and then his how-to image is a big piece of wood that you put on your necks for two beasts of burden? He's intentionally being provocative here with his image. Now, a yoke. I always thought that this was talking about an egg when we were growing up. So I thought you were yoked to somebody because eggs are so sticky and you're just stuck to them. I like this image a little bit better. I looked it up, one definition of a yoke, it calls it a wooden crossbeam or frame used to harness two draft animals, like oxen, together, allowing them to pull heavy loads like plows or carts. Doesn't seem particularly restful. It's an agrarian tool for beasts of burden, and a piece of it that I think is so important for our conversation here is it's not primarily so that you can get a sort of two horsepower situation. It's primarily used to train a younger animal alongside of a more experienced, steady, maybe even stronger animal. I heard a story of somebody who went on one of these, let's go back in time to a farm that didn't use certain kinds of tools sort of experiences, and they saw two donkeys yoked together. And one of them was just steady, strong, did their thing, but for about three quarters of the work, the other donkey was trying to go this way, trying to go that way, speeding up, kicking, doing all kinds of crazy things. The person driving this, whatever it was, a cart or plow or something, most of their energy was spent on this other donkey trying to keep it from breaking everything apart. But eventually, this younger donkey walking alongside of this more experienced, sturdy donkey found its rhythm, found its pace, certainly got worn out along the way, but they were able to walk together down a certain path. Jesus says in our passage, "Learn from me. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Walk alongside of me." When there's one animal anchoring the other, it will learn. The yokes tug and pull on that wild animal. The yokes pace setting, slowing down when they're going too fast, or maybe picking up the pace when they're a little bit behind. These little pulls and pushes, it's part of the learning of being yoked to Christ. These animals were allowed to walk in a unified direction after learning together. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Pair up with me to find rest. It doesn't feel very inviting. It feels heavy. And to our time and place, I think we feel the question, why limit myself with a yoke at all, with anything? Why should I hem myself in with anybody's sense of a path or a pace or dance moves? Why especially should I yoke myself to something from over 2,000 years ago? Doesn't seem right. I think I can curate rest better on my own. I don't know if you've heard of this new phenomenon. It's kind of a follow-on to this group of folks called the nuns, N-O-N-E-S. On their religious forms, when it asks what religion are you, they would put none, right? Now we have this group called the ums. It's a group of folks who, some have never had a church experience, some have, and have been really burned by it and just ground into the dirt. One way or another, they may have faith in Jesus, they may not yet, they may be curious, but they're looking at the church. And collectively, they're wondering what the first step in might be. There's some risk involved in it. They're wondering if there's a place for them there. What would it look like? And so they look at the church and they go, these are the ums. They've been hurt by a church that has forgotten how to dance in this path of rest. So many of them have been hurt and wounded, and I know this is true for you too. I have the grace of knowing so many of your stories. And they're riddled with pain that the church has caused. But that church is a church that has forgotten how to dance the steps of a dance of rest. Know that church, where Christ is central and we are yoked to him, will point us towards the walk, the dance of rest. This is the grace of the gospel. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. Jesus intentionally turns this heavy, burdensome image upside down so that we can find ourselves in the work, in the weight of it, and be surprised that wearing the yoke of Jesus is actually a light and life-giving thing. The question is not, will you wear his yoke? The question is, which yoke will you wear? It matters who we're dancing with as we learn to dance. We all wear a yoke as we learn to walk a particular path. We are never yokeless, which I should coin that word, it just rolls right off the tongue, yokeless. We are never without a yoke. Certainly these days, we understand the ways that our algorithms and social media is a yoke on us. In a way, it yokes us to ourselves, which is kind of gross. But in another way, it yokes us to what just the plurality of the world wants you to think. The church institution, protecting the institution, is a yoke that we have to throw off. Our work here is not about protecting an institution. It is about walking this path with Jesus. And if there is anything that we do that doesn't point to that, then you challenge me on it, because that's the wrong kind of step. 250 years ago, our nation threw off the yoke of an oppressive country and king. We wasted a lot of good tea in the process. But we threw it off. We recognized that wasn't right. We can throw off yokes, can't we? But then we accidentally take on another yoke of independence. And we have been challenged to discover how an independence-mindedness has really caused a lot of division in defining ourselves against. The only yoke that will bring us life and rest is being yoked with Jesus. His is the only yoke that will actually lighten our walk, lighten our burden. But even for Jesus' yoke, there's an initial discomfort as we settle into the path that it puts us on. When I first started dancing with Hannah, I tried really hard to look like I knew what I was doing, which meant there was a really slow learning process for me. As I yoked in dancing to her and to other friends, other teachers, I learned the swing of it. I learned the dance steps. I learned how to adjust to a different kind of song when I haven't done it for 2 decades. When we yoke, it's a little uncomfortable at first, but that doesn't mean we're on the wrong path. The light and easy yoke of Christ still holds us when we feel like that unruly donkey that just wants to kick and bray and speed up or slow down. It's going to feel uncomfortable at times. But it is actually leading us in the path of rest. In this way, the push and pull of wearing the yoke of Christ is the dance itself. The path is a beautiful thing. It reminds us that rest is not an item that we are given like we might wish it was. It's a path to walk. But it's powerful not because of the path itself, but because of the one that we're walking it with. The dance is powerful because of the one that we're dancing with. Jesus himself is rest. He lived this throughout his life, that even when he was in his most dangerous or overwhelming situations, He was a person of peace. Why? Because he was yoked constantly to his Father. He shows us the path, but then he walks it with us, pulling us just a little bit here and there in the swing of the walk. This way, because that way is going to lead you down to a path of hurt. Let's slow down a little bit, because this path is going to run you down. You have so much more purpose than you think you do. Let's pick up the pace a little bit. Jesus is constantly with us through the power of the Holy Spirit. That is our yoke to him if we will listen. We know that anxiety and unrest can exist even when everything we could hope for is around us. We also know that those of us who have received Jesus' yoke can experience anxiety and unrest still. In this world, perfect, constant rest will still evade us. That's the future. But that doesn't mean that the rest we can experience as we walk with Christ isn't true, real, and deep. Now, up to this point, I don't know that I've said much that any other religion wouldn't say. They might swap in the name of some other god for Jesus. Here's a path to walk. If you walk this path, you will be more peaceful, more enlightened, whatever it might be. The difference with what Jesus offers is that not only are we yoked to him, but he yokes himself to us. In the story of these two donkeys, the person who saw it was amazed after the whole trip to see the sturdy donkey, after they took the yoke off and the ties off, had wounds all over. The younger donkey, and it's kicking and braying and just crazy making, wounded the donkey that was keeping it steady. Christ allows himself to be wounded and killed for our sake. When he yokes himself to us, he actually takes on our wildness and our many different yokes that we want to put on to find our own peace, our own rest. But we will be restless if we are not resting in him. He takes those things on and experiences the full end result of what we would naturally experience, so that we can walk freely in this path, yoked to Christ. Friends, let's not pretend like weariness, anxiety, burdens are not a part of the Christian life still. The question is, what yoke will you hold yourself to as we experience those things? So let me close with this. Scripture talks about yokes in many more places than this. Positive, negative, all over the place. Really fun study to do. There are a couple places that I think would connect with some of our experiences. It talks about in marriage being yoked, equally or unequally. But it talks about two people together. And there's a hope at the beginning of a marriage that the dance will go so well and so easy. Not just a hope, assurance. This is going to be nothing but good. You get down the road in an experienced life and you realize there are real difficulties and challenges and weights in marriage. It doesn't mean it's not good and beautiful and true, but it is hard. And there might be seasons where one person feels like they are carrying the weight of the marriage. There might be a season where the other person feels like they're carrying the weight of the marriage. This is part of being yoked. This is not at all to bless an abusive kind of marital situation, but it is to say we couldn't hope to sustain in those situations if that's the only yoke that we have. We need to carry our yoked to Christ dance into our marriage. Similarly, the New Testament talks about being yoked one to another. Submit yourselves one to another, as Paul says in Ephesians 5. This is what the church looks like. Do you know that we are yoked together as a church? There's a committedness to one another here. I hope you know on Sundays, I expect that some people are on a mountaintop when they come in here, and I expect that some people are down in the valley. We hold that together because we are yoked to one another. Don't avoid gathering when you are feeling especially down or unworthy. That is perhaps the moment that you most need to be here with us. But in all that we do as we gather, we point to the one with whom we are yoked, the one that we dance with. I promise you, everything in our Book of Common Prayer that we will do together, this book that guides so much of our common life together, it will point you directly to Jesus. And if we allow ourselves to feel the comforts and the discomforts of gathering in this way, we will find rest, even when our circumstances are challenging. This is how we will dance together, Vine. This is how we will invite others into the dance. I know this church has gone through very different kinds of seasons in our life. Do not let what the highs looked like and what the sadnesses looked like be your primary yoke for how we do life together. It is Christ to whom we are yoked. That is a very good thing. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.